Welcome to the FRSNU podcast with Reverend Rebecca. We're glad you're here. This week, we welcome guest preacher, Reverend Carlene Griffith Seku. Her homily is titled, Let's Get Free.
We welcome to our pulpit this morning, Reverend Carlene Griffith Seku, FRS. And some of you, if you came in, may have remembered and some have noted that she's also here for the installation service. A dear, dear friend and colleague, and we are indeed so blessed to have her. Reverend Carlene is an international public speaker and preacher and scholar, and has over 20 years of experience working in grassroots community organizing and development, human rights advocacy, health equity, and cultural regeneration. Her experiences as a public and international health professional include senior level program administration, HIV and AIDS prevention, women's health, design and diffusion of effective behavioral interventions, youth engagement, maternal and child health, and international program development. She is currently providing consultancy to organizations that are committed to creating internal and external cultures of justice and equity using a framework of cultural regeneration and training through facilitation in organizational context. She holds an MPH from Boston University School of Public Health, an MTS from Mansfield Divinity School, and an MDiv from Harvard Divinity School, and is currently a PhD student in religion, gender, and culture at Harvard University. She is also pursuing joint ordination in the UCC Faith and Denomination and Unitarian Universalist Association. And above all, she is one of the most amazing, kind, insightful, and loving individuals that I have the privilege of knowing. So welcome.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, all wisdom, majesty, and power that gives life. I am indeed excited and grateful to be here, and Reverend Rebecca has not at all embellished the goodness and the mercy and the love that by a confluence of circumstances have not only brought us together, but have knitted us together in heart and spirit, and together with a greater imagination to be more than what this world has given us. So I say thank you, Reverend Rebecca. Thank you, my sister, my comrade, my friend and co-laborer on this journey. It is good to see each and every one of you. It is good to be here. I can barely contain myself because it is sort of an oxymoronic that we live in a dangerous time. We are living in what seems to be almost apocalyptic realities. Are y'all with me? Here it goes again, that call and response. It's in me.
We're with you.
Thank you. Yet, it is also a moment of opportunity. I give honor to this land and the peoples of this land and those who share my ancestral lineage, who have worked this land and built and contributed through extracted and enslaved labor, and those of many of your heritage who had a different imagination, as Reverend Rebecca talked about, who knew that we could be much more and better. The abolitionist inclination that took us further and beyond, and all upon whose shoulders that we stand, and many of us, and my prayer is that all of us seek to move the pendulum further and bend it towards justice. And in that spirit, I will read from a text called The Bridge, this bridge called My Back, edited by Sherry Moraga and Gloria Anzaldúa, whose ancestors are of this land and the lands of the Americas, radical writings by women of color. Christos, one of the authors of indigenous peoples, the Menemone people, right, there are women locked in my joints for refusing to speak to the police. My red blood full of those arrested in flight, shot. My tendons stretch brittle with anger, do not look like white roots of peace. In my marrow are hungry faces who live on lands the whites don't want. In my marrow, women who walk 5 miles every day for water. In my marrow, the swollen faces of my people who are not allowed to hunt, to move, to be. In the scars on my knee, you can see children torn from their families, bludgeoned into government schools. You can see through the pins in my bones that we are prisoners of a long, long war. My knee is so badly wounded, no one will look at it. The pus of the past oozes from the pore. The infection has gone on for at least 300 years. My sacred beliefs have made pencils, names of cities, gas stations. My knee is wounded so badly, I limp constantly. Anger is my crutch. I hold myself upright with it. My knee is wounded. See, how am I still walking? And beloved, before we skirt over the reality of this history, it is difficult often for us to stop and do some truth telling and to remember that we did not just arrive here. What is happening in the White House is nothing new, and it certainly isn't new to the people of Christos, and it isn't new to my people. Yet what I stand here to say is that we're all in it together now. And we all have choices to make, and we have that difficult and dark history. But oh, do we have some resources and some treasures and some gifts and some wisdom to draw from. On this weekend, the story goes that an Italian conquistador, on behalf of the Catholic monarch, Columbus founded the world in which we inhabit today. Yet, as the story goes, it implies that he discovered. It's largely interpreted as founded, like someone who, through genius and imagination, created something anew. Encountered a group of desperate people who sent a clarion call for search and rescue. The deceptive hero narrative is one that for generations with which this nation, state, and others colluded with to entrench a lie in the minds and hearts of people But in so doing, it also attempts to rob us of the decency and ethical and moral fortitude to which we are called. It was the Bahamas, the island recently devastated by a hurricane in the Caribbean that he stumbled upon. There were Taino and Arawak, also known as the Arawak people, the Lacayan people. They originated from Hispaniola that was conquered by the Spanish. It is now called the Dominican Republic in Cuba. There were people there. There were peoples there living on the land. There was variety and abundance there as it was here. These relationships of conquest, settlerism, is our inheritance. We live in a nation state that has us to believe that this is the only and the best way is to be the most powerful, the most well-resourced by any means necessary. We take and we extract for me and mine and ours at the expense of others. Yet I am reminded of the grand design, a great divine wisdom, one that we call love and justice and goodness and kindness and mercy and all the things that we would want for those we claim to love. That when it was all said and done and creation was mapped and each dimension set in its place, it was said that it is good. So I imagine from the heavens to the earth, the stars, the seas, the abundance of life, the ecology of wildlife, of flora and fauna, of trees, of fruits, of plants, of vegetation, this abundance of beauty. I imagine that in every nation, tribe, and tongue, this effervescent life of diversity and multiplicity was included in that sentiment that said, it is good. I am from that goodness. You are from that goodness. Each and every one of us in all of this history as we have mixed by often violent circumstances or by choice, we're all mixed up, many of us. Jamaica, we say, out of many, one people, because after the genocide, we had conquest after conquest after conquest, and the peoples ended up mixing. So, you know, the beautiful reggae music that y'all love to jam to from Bob Marley, One Love, come on, right? We all know that, One Heart, Let's Get Together and Feel All Right. Our motto is out of many, one people, because in reality, that island, that nation, island state, that island nation state has in its veins the Spanish, the British, the Danish. And when the Jewish were being persecuted in Germany, we invited and settled Jewish folk in Jamaica. And so the trueness of our rich heritage is that we are many, but we are one. And because of this capacity to turn to, as what my grandmother would say, we take lemons and make lemonade. We are given that history. We are indeed abundant. There is enough land. There is enough resources. We have inherited legacies and our senses have been assaulted by legacies of capitalism, imperialism, right? Of militarism designed to convince us that we have to put up hedges to protect our own to the exclusion of others. In this moment, the narrative of immigration is vitriolic. This is a feature of this legacy that we've been given. Those people trying to come here to threaten and steal and take from us, to somehow invade this land, and we must protect what we have over and against us. And most of us know that that narrative is an attempt to continue to hoodwink and bamboozle us from a vicious history of imperialism and extraction of resources and setting up proxy governments in other lands and pillaging and robbing and stealing so that we can remain and become bigger and bigger. Many of these folk have been displaced by us and in our name as a country. But we have been hoodwinked and bamboozled because what we think, no matter where you come from, if you are of European descent, that you are simply white. Where are your people from? Where did you immigrate from? What is your particular story? The only folk who inhabited this land are First Nation peoples. And others were extracted from Africa and brought here. Otherwise, everyone else is an immigrant. White folk are immigrants. And we've been hoodwinked and bamboozled, deceived, and have our senses, our intelligence, our potential and capacity assaulted with the mechanisms of white supremacy that robs us of an imagination to be able to live in this abundance that we've been given. Difference is an abundance. I believe that every nation, tribe, and tongue has something that is vital to my existence, can contribute to my expansion and evolution as a human being. But white supremacy creates hegemonic borders and walls, internal and external, creates xenophobic fear where we have to create these personal prisons by zip codes, by race, by communities, where we can't even venture out because of what we hear on the news into certain neighborhoods because we're afraid. And because of the wealth and the richness of economics and cultural hegemony, we create a cloister of whiteness. So we don't hear about the things that assault white humanity. The privilege of privacy is given to only those who are economically and class segregated. I'll talk more about that in the workshop. We don't hear of the depression, the domestic violence, the abuse, the sexual, all of the things that ail all humanity. We hear about black on black crime. We don't hear about white on white crime. But in every group around the nation, if not the world, except in circumstances of war, every group commits crime against its own group more than against any other group. What am I saying, y'all? I'm gonna get back to that excitement that I had. Our ancestors, and I'm sorry, I think I'm taking up too much time. I come from ancestors who used to sing this song. that said, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away, facing death-dealing circumstances day in and day out, an assault against their very existence, because this skin is considered a weapon. We've been so deceived that pigmentocracy has become a weapon. And people are afraid if they see someone of a different hue walking around, automatically presumed to be dangerous and criminal. But they said the joy that we have, it's something bigger and greater than us, because we are designed to be seen as fully human, with dignity and genius and resources to offer, much of which we continue to give and give and give. And so my hope is in the fact that we are abundant, and that what has been given to us in this moment is that ain't none of us free until all of us are free.
Yeah. Amen.
Can I say it again?
Yeah.
Ain't none of us free until all of us are free. White supremacy makes white folk its first victim. It truncates and effaces an humanity, imagination, and capacity to be bigger, to be grander, to be larger, to be more full, to be learners of others. We have traveled in many places around the world and have had to learn how to be learners in India, learners in Japan, learners in Italy, learners in across the Caribbean. This is what I teach my son. The first thing he sees are other children, playmates. Playmates. Mommy, can I go over there and play with them? That's what he came up here to tell me. Mama, can I go with them? Would that we continue to have that openness, that generosity as a child. So we've got a lot of work ahead, but we also have a lot of joy, a lot of singing, some truth telling, but we have the gift of the resources of our particularity. Who are you? Where did you come from? Who are your people? What of your people can we take in to this new journey of freedom and liberation and abundance? I look forward to learning about you and learning about this rich history and legacy that we have. And we're gonna get free together.
We'll be posting more FRSNU podcasts with Reverend Rebecca on our website, FRSUU.org, and on our Facebook page. We'd love to see you in person at our services every Sunday morning at 10:30 at the First Religious Society Unitarian Universalist, located at 26 Pleasant Street in Newburyport. Or you can reach out to me, Nicole Salemi, Director of Community Engagement. Email me at nicole.salemi, that's Salem with an I, S-A-L-E-M-I, at FRSUU.org. It has been good to be together.